Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of June 2019. And I'm so thrilled to have three old friends on the program today, two of which have been guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the past, and one will be a first-time guest. We have today Pastor Gary George of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts, Gary L. Scott, an itinerant Sovereign Grace Baptist evangelist, and William Sasser, pastor of Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee. And we're all going to be discussing a loving tribute to the late John G. Riesinger, a Sovereign Grace pioneer during the Calvinistic resurgence among Baptists in the mid-20th century. And brethren, it's my honor and privilege to either welcome you back or welcome you for the first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Glad to be here.
And Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you.
Great.
Good to be with you, Brother Chris.
Yes, and the last two greetings I got were from returning guests, Gary George and Gary L. Scott. And the first person whose voice you heard, William Sasser, he is a first-time guest on the program. And I'm looking forward to this discussion, and I'm also looking forward to promoting the 2019 John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee, where, God willing, I will be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitors booth and being edified and enjoying the fellowship this coming Sunday through Wednesday. So I hope that as many of you who are listening, especially those who are living in the Tennessee area, but also those who are able to take a train, plane, or automobile, can attend the John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee, and meet me there. I would love to meet many listeners whom I've never heard from before, and I'd also love to hear from old, or meet, I should say, see again, I should say, old friends who have listened to this program for years at the John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee, but we'll be giving you all the details that you need to attend this conference during the course of this program. Before I introduce my guests individually, I just want to let you know a little bit about the background of Reverend John G. Riesinger, who many of you may have heard of. Many of you may be discovering this brother for the first time. Our brother John G. Riesinger passed away not long ago, December 17th, 2018, at the age of 94. He is survived by his daughter, Jean, his son, Robert, and nine grandchildren and eight great-grandchildren. He was predeceased by his wife of 70 years, Rosemary, and Pastor John Riesinger was a United States Navy veteran of World War II, and served with the Seabees in the Pacific Theater. He was a retired minister and was the former minister at Grace Community Church in Webster, New York, which he started in 1996. Reverend John Riesinger authored 28 books on Christianity, and although I had some disagreements with John, he is a key figure in my own journey of Christianity. I have so many precious memories of attending the John Bunyan conferences in the late 1980s and early 1990s, along with another brother who is now with the Lord for eternity, Don Blind, Don Blind was a precious, very important friend of mine, and he was also the pastor of my late wife, Julie, before we were married. And we had so many wonderful times of fellowship with Don Blind. And I'm assuming that all three of my guests remember Don from his regular attendance at the John Bunyan Conference. But when I was a new Christian soaking up the doctrines of sovereign grace, John Riesinger was a powerful influence on my life and understanding of the doctrines of sovereign grace. So I am so pleased to be presenting to him a radio program in memory, in loving memory of him today. But let me now introduce to you, one by one, our guests today. First of all, Gary George, pastor of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts. Gary, if you could let our listeners know more about Sovereign Grace Chapel.
Well, Sovereign Grace Chapel started kind of on the wings of John Riesinger in some ways. The church that I now pastor started in about 1991. John Riesinger had been in travels with Bob Morey in different places, and one of the places he stopped was here in my neighborhood. It was called Charlton, Massachusetts, and there was a foundation organization called New England Christian Information Center, which was basically a counter-cult ministry. They had the likes of Walter Martin, James White, other figures of that caliber who the founders of this organization would bring in for not just cult awareness, but also just for good theology. And Bob Morey was one of those ones that they brought in. And it happened to be that John Riesinger was traveling with Bob on this particular occasion when I was visiting the information center just so I could, you know, hear Bob Morey. And that's when I first met John Riesinger, and my first introduction to New Covenant theology was some words that I had exchanged with him. Up to that point, I had very vague understanding or knowledge or even interest in it, for that matter. So that was my first meeting with John, and then shortly after that, the church was planted by another individual, and I came into the picture about a year after, in 1992, and I have been there ever since. We're in south-central Massachusetts, maybe about an hour and 15 minutes outside of Boston, closer to Worcester, Massachusetts. And we're a Doctrines of Grace church. We hold New Covenant theology as well, just like John advocated, and some like him, like two guests you also have on the radio today. So my memories are as fond as anybody's about John, and had many occasions to go to conferences where he spoke. He's been in my home several times. Many phone calls we've exchanged back and forth, and he's even invited me to be a speaker at some of the Bunyan conferences that he headed up in years past. So anyway, that's my kind of introduction to John.
Yes, and I remember well your speaking engagements at the John Bunyan Conference in Pennsylvania. I remember meeting you for the first time there. I remember being very edified by your messages on amillennialism and also speaking against the teaching of conditional immortality and annihilationism. And also, I remember a debate that you did not have there, but you had it in Queens, New York, at the church where our mutual friend Ed Moore is the pastor. You had a debate against hyper-preterists there at the North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens. But our friendship has been spanning a long time, and I thank God for our friendship, and I remember interviewing you as well on this program. If anybody wants to know more about Sovereign Grace Chapel, I intend to repeat this information later, but the website is Sovereign Grace MA, abbreviation for Massachusetts, sovereigngracema.org, sovereigngracema.org. And now, my old friend Gary L. Scott, itinerant Sovereign Grace Baptist evangelist. Gary, tell us about what may be new on the horizon for you in your ministry. I know that perhaps you might be candidating at a church here or there, but tell us about what's going on in the life of Gary L. Scott these days. Is Gary with us? Hello, Gary. Well, I don't know.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Gary, can you give us an update?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Can you give us an update on your ministry, your itinerant evangelism ministry, and so on? I don't know.
Yeah,
if
well,
are you listening to us on a computer where there's an echo or a delay? Because you're not responding very quickly.
No, I have you on my phone, but I put you on mute so that you wouldn't pick up any background noise.
Okay.
Flip that off.
Okay.
Let me give you an update. I had pastored for about 43 years, and about 3 years ago resigned active pastorate, and in the interval have been interim at two different churches that have been in difficulty and have helped them kind of re-stabilize and to find a new pastor. I am currently in an interim position in Oakwood Baptist Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, that's right near Harrisburg, and we are actively now seeking a full-time lead pastor for there. But at the same time, over the last 3, 4, 5 years, I've been working on a project that I'm calling Cross Theater, where God stages his love. And in fact, this will be my topic for presentation at the Bunyan Conference. And this essentially is a fresh approach to discipleship that recognizes that for people to really follow Jesus, it involves more than just having information that they affirm and acknowledge and understand, but it is about embodying God's love in their life and the community in which they're placed. And so I have been working to develop that, and we now have a website that is crosstheater.org, I hope that you'll take a look at that and see some of the resources that are available. But let me say a word about John Riesinger. John Riesinger became a friend of mine in the mid-70s. He actually was the first living person that I knew that believed the doctrines of grace. I grew up in a Calvinian church, a little mix of Calvinism, a little mix of Arminianism, a dash of this and that. And as I went through Bible college, it was a dispensational, non-sovereign grace Bible college. I had a number of exchanges came to develop those convictions. When I went on to seminary, that's where they were fully developed. And when I went to my first church, it was Grace Baptist Church in Carrollton, Ohio, I had John Riesinger come as a speaker. And I can so well remember that was about 1975, and I was just getting to know him. And I remember sitting down for the first time and talking to someone who actually understood the sovereignty of God, who embraced the doctrines of grace, and could articulate them in not only a clear but in a winsome way. And I remember sitting across the table from him talking about his ministry of being an itinerant evangelist and expressed some interest perhaps in going in that direction, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "I can give you 3 reasons why you cannot do that." And he pointed to Gary, Gretchen, and Jennifer, my 3 children. And he said, "It doesn't work when you have small children." And so that began a long and a beneficial friendship. Some of the early Bunyan conferences, in fact, I picked out some of the early Bunyan papers. You mentioned about Gary George, his presentation that he did on annihilationism. And in fact, I sent him a copy of that this morning, and I said, "Do you remember that?" And he said, "Yeah, that was in the Bunyan Conference in 1994. And I really go back to the early Bunyan conferences when we were in Ronks, PA, at the fire station there. And it was a small group, but it was a great group. And what I particularly appreciated about John Riesinger was the clarity and the winsomeness of his approach. It wasn't just doctrinal. It wasn't heady. It wasn't a form of elitism. but it was just a down home. Let me tell you what the Bible says and how I understand it. So he made a great impact with the first group of people that I pastored at Grace Baptist Church in Carrollton, and then continued through the years in the various churches that I pastored and being at the Bunyan Conference. So I really see him as one of the key mentors in my life. I came to know him within the first 2 years that I was beginning my pastoral ministry, and so I look to him as a real encouragement, a real mentor, a real blessing from God.
Praise God. And now, William Sasser, pastor of Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee. Why don't you tell us, first of all, something more about Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee, Bill?
Well, I'm from Southwest Georgia, as you'll probably be able to detect.
And I know you're a Southerner anyway.
I was at a Bible conference in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, about 1969, and met several what were called Sovereign Grace pastors, preachers, teachers, and a fellow who lived in Nashville, Tennessee, contacted me in 1970 and asked me if I might be interested in coming up to Nashville. Franklin is just 15 minutes south of Nashville, Tennessee. And so if I would come up and do some teaching, hold some meetings. So I came up and had several meetings, in fact, going back and forth, driving from Georgia to Tennessee. So after months of that, he called me one day and asked me if I would be interested in coming here permanently. Well, we prayed about it, looked at all kinds of things, and decided to do that. We'd never heard of Franklin. We thought we would be in the south part of Nashville. And so we came up here to pastor a small group of 9 people. Almost immediately, we began to have visitors. We met in a Holiday Inn on Sunday morning, met in a basement on Sunday evening and Wednesdays. Then we moved to a bank building, and then after about a year or so, a little small building in Franklin became available. And we were able to get that building, moved in it. We were in that building for 35 years, and then about 14 years ago, we built a brand-new, beautiful building, and this is why these fellows want to hold this Bible conference in our church building, because it's a beautiful building, and it's ideal for conference. It's a beautifully styled building, reminds me of the churches you might have seen a couple of centuries ago in Europe. So I've been here for nearly 50 years, been pastoring the same church for nearly 50 years. I am one of 3 elders. Dr. Nelson Foster is an elder, and Joe Turner is an elder, and we have several deacons. So it's been a wonderful journey for me, and as far as John is concerned, I too met John in the 70s. I met him at a Bible conference, and we became friends, and then I think John had a time in his life when he was, what I would say, in the doldrums, and at that point we were able to kind of call him in, and we had him here at the church. He would often come here and stay weeks at a time, and Rosemary would come, and once I had to go over to Europe, and he just stayed here and pastored the church, and Rosemary and John lived in our home while we were gone. So a wonderful, wonderful friend, a good brother, and as these two men have said, just an excellent, excellent teacher that had the ability to take things that might be complicated or could be complicated and make them so that a child could understand them. He had a gift, I think, to do that. So we have wonderful memories of John. I have a lot of pictures of him. In fact, my wife and I went by to see him just a few months before he passed away. We had a great visit with him. I have our visit recorded on my phone, and we might show some of that at this conference this year at our conference at Grace Church at Franklin, here in Franklin, Tennessee.
Great. And if anybody wants more information about Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee, go to gracechurch@franklin.org, gracechurch@franklin.org, and the at is actually spelled out, A-T, Grace Church, A-T, Franklin.org, and Franklin is spelled F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N. And I hope that if you live in the Franklin, Tennessee area, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're ever vacationing in that area, that you will look up Grace Church at Franklin and pay them a visit, or even join them if you live close enough, or refer them to people who can join them. Well, the conference that is coming up that I am going to be attending, God willing, the John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee. This is a conference that features quite a number of speakers, including our three guests today. It's going to be held June 23rd through the 26th, which is this Sunday through Wednesday. And perhaps I could have each of you just give a summary of a description of this conference and what you'll be speaking on. I know that Gary Scott already discussed that he will be presenting something about Cross Theater. Perhaps you can add something to that, Gary. But let's start with Gary George. What do you plan to address at the John Bunyan Conference?
Well, I did have a spot in the conference as a speaker, but when I recognized that Steve Wollum, who I think is a keynote speaker, had only one slot, I volunteered to drop out so that he could take a second slot. So I'm not having a significant part other than we're going to have a tribute to John early in the conference. I believe that's the first session. So I'll have a small part in that, along with, I believe, at least four or five other brothers are also going to share some of their memories and recognition of John's influence and impact on our lives and the lives of many more. So that's my part. I am a board member of Providence Theological Institute, and we are the ones that are sponsoring the conference, though Bill's church is the host church, and it's very accommodating building, and the folks there are just fantastic. So it's going to be a real great place to go, and if anybody can possibly get to it. And let me say, too, there is no charge for this conference. It baffles me how that happened. I've never been to a conference, at least in this caliber, to not be charging anything to attend. And as far as I'm concerned, if I named all the names of the speakers, and I believe we have about 10 or 11 different speakers, extremely competent brothers, Tony Costa being one of them, along with many others of the same sort of caliber, it's an all-star lineup. And I say that, you know, with real confidence. These brothers are real gifted. They've got some great things I know they're going to share. So I'm happy just to, as a board member, be a part of having this conference get off the ground and get all these various people coming and preaching the word. So I hope there's a host of people that will come and take advantage of it. And I think Bill could probably tell us, for those that can't make it, he may know possibly how they can live stream the conference, or at least be able to watch it at some point.
Do you have that information, Bill?
Yes, well, of course, let me just say this. For years and years and years, we had Bible conferences at Grace Church, and sometimes we had 12 and 14 speakers, and generally we began Monday evening and finished Thursday evening. Now, a few years ago, in fact, since we're talking about John, a few years ago he approached me and asked me about contributing to these John Bunyan conferences. And so John and I went out to Oregon for 4 years or 5 years and tried to establish a John Bunyan conference there. Well, in the process of time, I've met various brethren. I've known Gary for a number of years. I've known Gary Scott for a long, long time, from when he was pastoring down in Dalton, Georgia. He was there twice. He was there a long time. The Lord led him somewhere else, came back. So I've known all of these brethren for a long time, and I think the difference, as I see it, the old conferences that we had, the church had, would be what I would call an open conference. And that means that was a church, that was a, no topic was assigned, no papers were delivered, didn't have question and answer sessions and so on. People just delivered whatever they thought the Lord had given them. And of course, in the, I would say, the South, they had a strong sovereign grace kind of movement, and they began having these conferences everywhere. Well, as I say, after I met John, then I was able to fraternize and attend some of the conferences that have become known as John Bunyan Conference. The Providence Theological Institute has had, I believe, four or five of these conferences here at Grace Church in Franklin, where the church has sponsored those conferences. And these conferences, of course, usually a topic is developed, a paper may be presented, and then we have some very interesting question and answer series. And it's a very, it's a type of conference where you can learn a lot about the systematics of the theology that we now call New Covenant, trying to crystallize it, to make it clear, to bring it out, which John, of course, had so much as a pioneer in opening up that particular perspective of the Scriptures. So, that's clear. We've had conferences for nearly 50 years, but we began having these Bunyan conferences. We had some John Bunyan conferences 10 or 15 years ago, but we're now having them with the Providence Theological Institute and some of these brethren that are instructors in seminaries and so on. Been very successful. I think the impact of the conferences is that what is taught filters down through the pastors to the people, and the people understand the great gifts and the great privileges that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often said that everybody says they believe in grace, but unfortunately, many people have a legal mentality, and a New Covenant perspective frees us up from this sort of thing. And in light of that, I think this is the value of these John Bunyan conferences.
Yes, well, I could even say, as one who has always been a member of a confessionally Reformed Baptist church that was on the covenantal side of the dispute, I can say that I always found the John Bunyan conferences a rich experience in spite of any differences I had. And in fact, I know that at least on one occasion, John had a speaker there at the Bunyan Conference from the covenantal side of the divide, a brother from England whose name escapes me right now. He's with the Lord now for eternity. But the Bunyan Conference has always fascinated me because there was, and perhaps still are, a wide variety of people that would attend. From not a cookie cutter background, you had amillennial brethren, you had pre-mill, pre-trib brethren, dispensational brethren, and even at times, even though the differences caused a little tension and a little heat during the conferences, there was always a tremendous sense of warmth and brotherhood and grace. Can Gary George, you might be able to explain, in your opinion, why do you think that there was something about the Bunyan conferences that allowed for people of different backgrounds theologically, who had obviously agreed on some core things, but that there was a sense of unity even amidst the tension that would sometimes develop during discussions and so on?
Well, I think it's attributed to grace, and I think John magnified that so much in his ministry, in preaching, and there was a high degree of tolerance, if you will, and patience with one another, and no one was trying to, push their points across in some factitious way, and John was very open to listen to other views, especially when it came to not necessarily soteriological ones, although I must say that one year he did allow a four-point Calvinist to give his particular stand to everybody, but there was a great opportunity to question him, and it was just handled in just such amazing grace by by all that were involved. And I think that was kind of understood by all who attended, that this there was no unanimity in to such a degree that you would have had to agree with every particular point to fit in well with the conference attendees. That wasn't, there was no requirement. And I think, depending on how strong you felt about your particular position, whether it was theological or eschatological, if you were willing to listen to other alternatives, you were more than welcome there. And I think you felt the warmth and you felt the camaraderie, and there was a great opportunity for exchanging ideas without feeling like you were going to be combated by your opponent or anything of that sort. Though we did have some lively debates and discussions, mind you, but it wasn't to the point that it was divisive, and we understood that we were willing to kind of put our cards on the table and just let people make their own judgments on things. I can say, for instance, the first conference I attended was in 1993 in Lewisburg at the college there.
Oh, yeah, I remember those nights trying to fall asleep, feeling like I was sleeping in the barracks along with Colonel Hogan and everybody else from Hogan's Heroes, and not being able to fall asleep when you heard the chainsaw of simultaneous snoring going on all night.
Well, you know, I was so impressed with the scholasticism and with John particularly, I had actually called him sometime after the conference, maybe a month or two later, kind of almost had to reintroduce myself. I mean, he really met me one time before that, but I had asked him some questions about conditional immortality and annihilationism and soul sleep and that type of thing. And, you know, amazingly, here I am asking him these various questions, and he said, "Hey, brother, why don't you speak on the subject of annihilationism next year? Would you mind taking a slot in the conference?" I said, "John, I'm humbled by that. I'm not sure how adequate a job I could do. I was actually calling you, hoping that you could maybe help me in my further understanding of it. But apparently, whatever I said must have impressed him enough to, and this is what I'm trying to, my point I'm trying to get across, was he wasn't afraid to sort of risk maybe what someone might say because, you know, we can always kind of iron things out. We can, and John had a way of sort of, I don't want to say he was a compromiser. That's not the point. He was very clear in
silence. Oh, yeah.
Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
But he was very, very humble and very gracious towards varieties of views. And
yeah, he even allowed a proponent of conditional immortality to give his 2 cents after your message, if you may remember.
Well, there was a question and answer period, and I know there were a very few, that were, if not in that camp, they were leaning into that camp. And I think maybe John may have been aware of it prior to selecting me and the topic for that particular year, which happened to be really my first, you know, dedicated year to go there. I mean, the previous year, someone asked me at the last minute, "How would you like to go with me to a John Bunyan conference in Lewisburg?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess I'll go." But I definitely wanted to go back the following year, and of course I had an obligation to go because I consented to John's invitation, and I did spend a good 6 months trying to do all the research I could in preparation for not just what I was going to present, but what I could possibly hear from some that may have had a different perspective on it. And I still believe that that's an important area of doctrine that we cannot let go, because I do think it does damage to the essence of the gospel, and I'm willing to debate anybody on that because I think there are some fundamental points that cannot be compromised.
Yes, I remember you had a profound comment during your message that has stuck with me all these years. That you said that if you believe in conditional immortality, and by the way, for our listeners who don't know what that is, and I may be not exactly as precise as the advocates of that view would want someone to be in describing it, but from what I have understood, speaking with brethren who believe in that, is that they are not annihilationists in the view that somebody is instantly annihilated after death if they're lost or damned. But they do believe that there will be people in hell suffering, but it won't be for eternity. And you had said that if somebody could satisfy the wrath of God through their own punishment in hell, it was a violation of the gospel. And I thought that was one of the best arguments I have heard. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, I'm not sure those were the exact words, but that's definitely a point that I would have come across for sure. And I think, I don't know if it was was it Edward Fudge who wrote the book,
yes,
The Fire That Consumed?
Yes.
Correct? And I believe, didn't you have him on your program in New York City?
Oh, yeah. Well, Long Island, New York. I had him debate my friend Ken Samples on that many years ago. In fact, it was, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't even on my show. It was before I had my own show, and I got them booked on the Andy Anderson Live show on WMCA. That's what it was. That's why you're thinking New York City, because that is a New York City radio station. But we have to go to our first break right now, and I would like to continue our conversation right where you left off there, and also, of course, have other people chime in on the panel here. And we have to make sure we leave plenty of time to specifically address John Riesinger, who we are paying tribute to today. But if anybody has any questions or comments, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with after these messages with our tribute to the late John Riesinger. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. 5689, Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned into our show today, we are paying a tribute to John Riesinger, who went home to be with the Lord for eternity in December of 2018, and he was a Sovereign Grace pioneer during the Calvinistic resurgence amongst Baptists in the mid-20th century and remained a powerful influence on the lives and teachings and ministries of many pastors and I hate to use the term layman, but so that you understand where I'm coming from, your ordinary Christian alike throughout the decades after this resurgence began. And today, to pay him tribute, we have Gary George, pastor of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts, Gary L. Scott, an itinerant evangelist, and William Sasser, pastor of Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee. And I do wish that a mutual friend of all of ours was here to join us, Fred Zaspel. He was John Riesinger's right-hand man throughout all of the Bunyan conferences that I attended. He is currently on the pastoral team at the Reformed Baptist Church of Franconia, Pennsylvania. I just want to give him a shout-out. Wish you could be with us, Fred. And for those of you who live in Franconia, Pennsylvania, or close by, if you want to pay a visit to the church, it's rbcfranconia.org, rbcfranconia.org. And one thing that was interesting about something that we were just addressing, John Riesinger is being very clear about and passionate about specific things that he believed, and perhaps even being adamantly opposed to certain things, but at the same time having an attitude of charity, even with the man who was his right-hand man at the John Bunyan conferences, the aforementioned Fred Zaspel. They had a very strong difference of opinion on eschatology. John being, he never said he was amillennial, I don't think, but he, from what I could gather, he was. And Fred being historic dispensationalist, historic premillennialist. One of the reasons that was a Freudian slip there is I remember John viewed all premillennialism as dispensationalism. And he really wouldn't cut slack with anybody on that issue. But Gary Scott, if you could, tell us something about the friendship that you had with John Riesinger. And I know that you would have been among those who was historic pre-mill and may have had other differences. Tell us something about how you appreciated John's strictness combined with tolerance and charity.
John was actually a non-confessing historic pre-mill. He was just ashamed or careful to identify what he really was.
Okay.
But just to let you know, that's really where he was coming from. Now he's convinced of it. But let me say this. Let me go back to the question that you asked earlier about what we're going to be doing at the conference, and that will answer the question also about John Riesinger. I am doing a presentation on the flow of redemptive history. We're calling it Cross Theater. And Cross Theater is, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 4:9 where Paul says, God put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have become a theater to the world, to angels, and to men. And so behind this is the sense that this world is a theater. Calvin said it's a theater of God's glory. And in fact, God is the playwright, he is the producer, he's the director, he's the marquee player, and sending his son. And when I was in Bible college and seminary, I went to a Bible college that was dispensational. I went to a seminary that was covenantal. And I came out of seminary convinced that both of them had fatal flaws.
And in those days, in the early 1970s, you were either dispensation or covenant. There really weren't other alternatives. And I remember leaving there being convinced of what I would have called a historical redemptive approach to theology. It was while I was at the first church in Ohio that I came in contact with John, and these discussions began about the flow of redemptive history. And New Covenant theology, as really in heart, is trying to understand the movement and the flow of redemptive history. And one of the key meetings that took place for 2 years in the early 80s was the Dallas Council on Baptist Theology, that I know a number of the men that will be at the conference were part of that. Gary Long was there. John Reisinger was there. Ron McKinney was there. Bill, were you there at the Dallas conference?
I was, yes.
Yes. And a number of others. And the focus of that was trying to wrestle with how do we understand the movement of the covenants from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to David and ultimately to the new covenant. So that really solidified that discussion at the Dallas Council, really solidified my commitment to pursue this course and come to understand that. And I was given the assignment of looking at how the gospel used the sense of law and gospel, how that played out in the book of Acts. And I remember doing the presentation and coming there excited to see a new covenant perspective. That was before the word was common and was adopted. And that led me into years of trying to work through and sort through that. And so Cross Theater is really kind of the germination of 40 or 50 years of thinking and working through the text of Scripture and trying to trace really God's love at the heart of Scripture, at the heart of reality, is a Father, a Son, and the Spirit that lives in what's called inter-Trinitarian love, where the Father has eternally loved the Son. And the love of the Father and Son is so great that the Spirit proceeds from that. And that provides, before anything existed, there was the Father, there was the Son, and there was the Spirit. And God determined that that love that was so apparent and so enjoyed was going to be staged. So he created this world for the purpose of staging that love. And New Covenant theology begins to trace that from God's love that was expressed in creation. What God essentially did is he created people, image bearers, with a capacity to know his love and to share in his love. And we read to, in Genesis 3, as we're following, tracking with this, I want to give just a quick summary of this. That love was spurned, and it looks like maybe this project is going to fail, but that was in the script. God had scripted the failure of Adam and Eve in order to open the door for him to demonstrate the depths of his love. And so all of the Old Testament is about God's love that's promised. He made that promise to Abraham. He actually made the promise earlier to Adam that the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent, and then made the promise to Abraham that he was going to be a blessing to the whole world. And all of the Old Testament is really about God's love that was promised, that's going to come to fruition, and ultimately going to come in the form of the Messiah. And in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we find that love now is actually fulfilled. What he'd been promising, what he expressed in creation, what he promised to Abraham, now comes to its fulfillment in God coming to this earth. Not an angel, not a text, not a tweet, but a person. The very second person of the Godhead
who becomes in flesh, who comes to this world, and now he's going to show God's love in a way that we would never know that. And I love the passage in 1 John 4 where he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son that we might live through him. And it looks like, well, when you come to the pages of the New Testament, this is the last word on love. But no, it's really not, because Jesus said, I need to go back to heaven in order that the Spirit can come. And when he comes, he's going to flesh this out. And so Paul says in Romans 5:5 that he has given us the Spirit and has poured out the Father's love in our heart. So this love that was promised and fulfilled in Christ is now embodied. And this is critical in my understanding and the passion that I have after pastoring for almost 50 years, is that we have so many professing Christians that affirm doctrinal truths. I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, but it's really not integrated or embodied in their life. And the whole point of the new covenant is now that Christ has formed the new covenant community, he's given us his Spirit. That Spirit embodies his love in our hearts. So we embody that in our churches and our families and our communities. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not a mind game. But now the gospel is embodied. But that doesn't bring that to an end. We have the hope that this love is going to be consummated. You know, there's a day coming that there's going to be this glorious consummation when Christ comes back in power and in great glory. Now, all of the things that I'm sharing with you are those seeds were planted in my mind and heart through John's ministry. It grows out of the Bunyan conferences. It grows out of the Dallas Council on Baptist Theology. And so I can tell you, in my life, it wasn't just a personal friendship with John, but it was the truth that he embraced. In fact, as I was looking through some of my early folders of things from the Bunyan Conference, I actually have the mimeograph first edition of Abraham's Four Seeds that John later went on to publish. And so John's legacy is not just with personal friendship, while there are many, but his legacy to me is the truth that he saw in Scripture of this movement of God through historical redemptive key points in the covenant. And this was masterfully set out by Steve Wellum and Peter Gentry in Kingdoms Through Covenant. And they traced the flow of that. So I simply want to say my indebtedness to John is flagging those things early in my ministry, nurturing that along, give me an opportunity to present some of those things, to interact with some of those things. And where I am today and what we're doing with Cross Theater is really resting firmly on the legacy of John Riesinger.
Great. We have to go to our midway break right now, and this is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida needs to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the Lake City, Florida area. So please be patient with us and write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which will enable us to remain on the air longer, God willing, and also send questions in to our guests about John Riesinger and his impact on the body of Christ while he was here with us on this earth, and even beyond his entering into eternity through his recorded sermons and lectures and writings. But don't go away. We're going to be back after these messages, God willing, with more of our guests paying tribute to the late John Riesinger. Chris Arnz and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable.
Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you could also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. They man that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And they have two excellent offers. For the purchase of any amount, you will receive free of charge the book True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas, one of our sponsors. And you just have to put in the comment section at cvbbs.com that you want the book True Love for free with your order. A much larger book requires a $50 purchase. This is another beautiful hardback published by Evangelical Press that is, as I said, much larger book. So if you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise, you will get my favorite of all biographies. It is called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by my friend John Thornberry, who I'm sure everyone on this panel today will fondly remember and speak highly of, John Thornberry, who is a well-known church historian, especially amongst Sovereign Grace-believing Baptists. And I first met John at the John Bunyan Conference that we are discussing today. This book, I keep reminding you, should be a major motion picture. The life of Spencer Cone is so extraordinary that you will not be able to put this book down if you get it. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not flattering John Thornberry by saying this. I was riveted to this book, and Spencer Cone, for whom John
Thornbury wrote this biography, was a 19th century particular Baptist. Today we would call him a Reformed Baptist. He was a school teacher. He was an attorney. He was a theater actor. He was a war hero in the War of 1812 and a pastor in Manhattan at the First Baptist Church of New York City, as well as some other places where he served as minister. I actually used the facility of First Baptist Church in New York City, which is still in existence, for a conference I orchestrated with Dr. Tony Costa, who is one of the speakers at the upcoming John Bunyan Conference in Tennessee, Franklin, Tennessee. Dr. Tony Costa is an extraordinary brother, by the way, and I strongly urge you, if you could get to this Bible conference, to go hear Dr. Costa and everybody else on the roster there at the John Bunyan Conference. But if you want this book, this larger book, you have to spend $50. So what you do is you have to put A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen. You have to put that book in your cart at cvbbs.com. And then add $50 worth of additional merchandise. And then if you add the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, all capital letters, all one word, you will have the price of A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen, deducted from your total. And so that's how you have to order that book and get that for free with your purchase of $50 or more. Now, if you want to make life easier for yourself, if that's too much to remember, just call 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and verbally tell them that you want the book True Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, and also the book A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen, and that will be a much easier way of getting those free offers. Now, I just want to mention a few events that I hope everyone listening will attend. First of all, the conference that we are discussing right now, the 2019 John Bunyan Conference of Tennessee in Loving Memory of John Riesinger. This is going to be held this Sunday, June 23rd through Wednesday, June 26th in Franklin, Tennessee at Grace Church at Franklin. And the speakers include our guest today, Gary Scott, Gary George, and William Sasser, and a number of other folks as well. This is quite a long roster. And Dr. Tony Costa is one name that I want to repeat because he is such an extraordinary preacher and teacher who I have used for a number of special events and a debate that I held in Carlisle, Pennsylvania between Dr. Costa and a Roman Catholic apologist. But if you want all of the people, the names of all the people speaking at this conference, go to ptinct.org, ptinct.org. That is the website of Providence Theological Institute, ptinct.org. And I hope that many of you will join me there in Franklin, Tennessee, this Sunday through Wednesday for the 2019 John Bunyan Conference. Then coming up in December 19th and 20th, which is a Thursday and Friday, in the heart of Manhattan during the best time of year to visit Manhattan, that's the Christmas season, I will be attending the Foundations Conference, which is a conference orchestrated by SermonAudio.com. And the speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, whose voice you've been hearing every day advertising New Covenant Church NYC, a congregation in Manhattan that sponsors this show. He is one of the finest preachers alive, in my opinion, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. Paul Washer, another one of the finest preachers living. My friend Jeff Thomas retired from the ministry after over half a century pastoring Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales. Now he is an itinerant evangelist and an author, and what an extraordinary preacher he is. The Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I think is going to be a household name in the next decade. He's a young man, but he is so extraordinary and so powerful and so gifted, I truly believe, amongst Reformed Christians anyway, he will become a household name. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Anthony Quigley, I have not yet heard them preach yet, but they are on the roster. And if Sermon Audio selected them, they must be magnificent. So if you want to join me there in Manhattan, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And I would do so quickly. I'd register quickly because they can only hold less than 200 people in this venue in Manhattan. Then finally, I am going to be heading out to Atlanta, Georgia in January from Thursday, the 16th of January, through Saturday, the 18th of January, for the G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. This is a phenomenal conference that I have loved to man my exhibitors booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio there. And they have over 5,000 people coming to this conference every year. So I would strongly urge you, if you have a business or parachurch organization, something that you want to advertise and promote to the body of Christ, this would be an ideal place to have an exhibitors booth. The speakers at this conference include Kosti Hinn. He is the nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn, and he would not be upset hearing me say that, because Kosti has renounced the Word of Faith heresies he was raised in, and a major part of his mission now as a Calvinistic Baptist pastor and cessationist, by the way, is to expose the Word of Faith heresies for what they are, for the deadly, damning, and deceiving doctrines they are. And he is on the roster. David Miller is on the roster. What a phenomenal preacher he is. Derek Thomas, who's definitely well-known by many in the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. My dear friend, since 1995, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is speaking. Joel Beakey, another friend of mine that I've known since the 1990s. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference. And again, Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer, they are on this roster as well. Dr. Tom Askell, who was actually the pastor of Ernie Riesinger for a number of years. Ernie Riesinger, who is or was the brother, or I guess he still is in heaven, the brother of John Riesinger, to whom we are paying tribute today. Dr. Tom Askell is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention. And Vody Baucom, another extraordinary preacher, is on the lineup. The theme this January is Worship Matters. If you'd like to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And as I said before, I would strongly urge you not only to register as an attendee, but if you have a business or parachurch ministry that you want to promote, I would register for an exhibitor's booth as well, because of the fact that they have over 5,000 people attending every year. That's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Make sure you tell the folks at the G3 Conference that you heard about this event from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, you love the guests and the topics that we feature, sometimes that are never heard anywhere else, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. We are in urgent need of your donations and your advertising dollars. If you have an organization or a business that you would like to advertise, as you hear, we have churches advertising on the show as well. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is compatible with what I believe. And just keep in mind that July is a very scary month for us financially. We just squeaked through the month of June and had most of our bills paid. Thanks be to God and those of you who listen, whom God has moved to donate to us. I don't even know how to describe in the English language how grateful I am to God for you, for your generosity and benevolence. But we need many more of you who love the show and don't want it to disappear to donate frequently and heavily to this show. Now, I have to remind you again. Please never, ever siphon money away from the regular giving you're accustomed to your local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and your home. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of God, but if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can. And keep in mind that if you want to send in a check via snail mail, the old-fashioned way, make your checks out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and there will be an address that appears on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, And if you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, please rectify that. I can help you find a church near you. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped a number of people in our audience find churches that they've joined, and also churches that they have visited while on vacation or recommended to loved ones. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line or something like that. And use that email as well to send us a question or a comment on the life of John Riesinger to our guest today, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I return to our guest, in particular Bill Sasser, who I know has some personal anecdotes to provide us about John Riesinger and what John has meant to him, I have an email that I've received. And keep in mind, this is a brother from the covenant side of the divide between Calvinistic Baptists. He is a Reformed Baptist and a Covenantal Baptist, but he loves and owes a great debt to John Riesinger. And his email says, John Riesinger was a powerhouse in spreading the doctrines of grace throughout the United States for almost 70 years. John is responsible for bringing much glory to God through the changed lives and illuminated minds of tens of thousands of saints, including me. I was brought into the doctrines of grace in 1977 through John's four classic sermons on the doctrine of election and his five messages on the doctrines of grace. I remember attending a Bible conference in 1977 where John and Gary Scott were preaching. John spoke on Galatians and Gary Scott on evangelism. It was a powerful conference. John had a unique teaching ability that riveted one's attention. It was my privilege to introduce John to the West Coast when I invited him to speak at our church near San Francisco in 1991. We had a great fellowship. Several months ago, I created a preaching slot for John on firstloveradio.org. His sermons are heard every day on this station. John's great teaching legacy continues through modern technology and social media platforms. He is an example of how much good can be done through teaching and propagation of sound doctrine with the blessing of God. And that is my friend Joe Jackowitz, president of First Love Ministries, pastor at Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, and pastor at large with Family Radio. Thank you very much for sending that in, Joe Jackowitz. Bill Sasser, you've known John Riesinger perhaps longer than anyone on this panel. If you could provide us some of your fondest memories of this dear brother.
Well, that probably would entail some humor.
Yeah, well, that's what I want.
John, when he would stay here with us, in fact, my wife, my dear wife, and John really got along great. And Lynn, my wife Lynn, was always, she was talking to John about his health, wanted him to hang around for a while, and he was a bit overweight. So she kind of got him on a diet, and he was doing quite well. And then one evening she heard some clunking around in the dark part of the house, and she walked in, and John was in there trying to find his cake that Lynn had made. And, in fact, just earlier today I was looking at a photograph of John when he was here with us, and he had his T-shirt on, and he was just a really, as these brethren have already said, he had no pretense about him. He was what he was. He was a person that no one could really dislike personally, because he just tore down your defense, really, by his personality, and then, of course, that gave him into your heart and your mind teaching theology. If I could sum up what I think John taught me, it would be this, and I've been saying this for a long time, and I think Gary Scott and I had a conversation about this. For a long time, I was teaching what I believe is now called New Covenant. I knew that there were problems with the law and the Christian. I was not a Sabbatarian. There were lots of things like that, and I just simply the Lord began to teach me. But if I could crystallize it, as Gary has said, it is about the flow of redemptive history. But if I could sum it up, and I've been saying this to our congregation for 35 years at least, that the Bible is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about him.
Amen.
It mentions Israel. It mentions the church. We have promises, but all of those promises are culminated and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything comes to him. Everything. All points to him. The prophets point to him. The law points to him. Moses himself. Everything. So the Bible is a hymn book, and to me, that is the gist of New Covenant, that everything in the Scripture leads to him. We use these theological terms, you know, Christotestic. The Bible testifies of Christ. Christocentric, he's the centerpiece. Christotelic, he's the end of all of the promises, all of these things. But that's really what we're saying, is that the Bible is an H-I-M, it is a hymn book. It's all about him. And when you see that, I think it's almost like being born again again. It frees you up from much of the legal mentality that we all have by nature. It frees us up from trying to understand what he has done, that it's finished. And that's the thing that I came to see. I don't know if you've heard of a fellow named Carl Hoke.
Yes.
He was a professor, and Carl Hoke and Dr. Gary Long and John and I had several meetings out in Colorado years ago, and that was the thing that I presented there, and they told me, they said, you know, Bill, I think that's it. I think that's where we're headed. We have to take these roads to get there. We have to deal with the theology and deal with those systems to get there, but I think that's where we're ending up. We're saying it's like the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord Jesus appeared and Peter said, well, this is wonderful. Let's just build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for the prophet Elijah and one for Jesus. And the Father spoke and said, no, this is my Son. You hear him, and Moses and Elijah disappeared, and it was only the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a summarization of what we're calling New Covenant. Might be, have different stripes now, different convictions within that New Covenant framework, but that's what we're saying. We're saying that we're through with all of these other things, and it's all about him. We're taking up with him, and that's who we'll be taking up with in eternity. So why not enjoy a little heaven on the way to heaven?
And we do have a listener in, let's see here, in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. Actually, in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. That is where my dear late friend Don Blind, my late wife's pastor before we were married, used to be the pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindenhurst, Long Island. I don't know if CJ, who is writing in, is from that church or not. But let me give a shout-out to my dear friends at First Baptist Church of Lindenhurst. CJ asks, what would be something in the legacy of John Riesinger that Reformed and Sovereign Grace-believing Baptists and Christians in general can learn from him that would span denominational and doctrinal differences, something that even those who are covenantal would appreciate and be blessed by, above and beyond, or instead of specifically the New Covenant unique teachings? And if each of you want to take a very brief time to answer that, why don't we start with Gary George, since we haven't heard from him in a while. Are you there, Gary? Gary George, are you there? Well, I guess we'll go to Gary Scott. I don't know what happened to Gary George.
His battery may have run out.
Yes, well, I would say that one of the things that that John did well is contributed in his own way to biblical theology, that instead of just systematic theology and putting all of these things together, he worked carefully through the various sections of Scripture. His work on the four seeds of Abraham is an excellent example of of biblical theology, of trying to follow the text and put the pieces together and not force it into a system. And so I think that one of the things that I valued about John is he didn't start with a system.
and then make the various texts of Scripture fit in that system. He really started out with the text of Scripture, and then the system emerged from that. And that's why it took a while to develop. That's why, in some ways, it was underdeveloped in areas and maybe overdeveloped in areas. And it took other people to come along and fill in some of the blanks. And so I think one of the great values and appreciation for biblical theology is not simply it's not cornered by those who believe in covenant theology, but it's valued by everyone that wants to hear God speak and understand what God is communicated to us in His Word. So I think that's one of the longtime legacies of John's ministry that has been appreciated and will continue to be appreciated, you know, in the sermons and the writings and the things that he's left behind.
Praise God. Anything to add, Bill Sasser?
Well, I agree with Gary. One cannot go back to the whole historical context, but I remember when I was in a conference, and it was a conference attended by men of like minds and women of like minds who believed in the sovereign grace of God, but people were talking. We all use these terms. We use the term Calvinism. We use the term Arminianism. We use the term Sabellianism, whatever. And the point that I made was this. I said, somebody said, well, Bill, if you don't want to be called a Calvinist, you don't want to be called, what do you want to be called? I said, how about Biblicist? I said, let's use the term Biblicist. And I think that's what Gary is saying, is he's absolutely right. John began with a text of Scripture and traced that, and then the theological nuances and everything fell into place, rather than beginning with a system and trying to defend a system or trying to defrock a system. He simply began with the Scripture, and I think that was exactly, I agree exactly with that, and that makes him and makes me, I hope, a Biblicist. May seem a simple term. Everybody probably claims to be that, but I prefer that over other terms that are popular, such as Calvinist. There's a lot of Reformed Baptist brethren who are my brothers, and I've been my friends for years and years and years, but I think it's inconsistent to be a Sabbatarian and come from a Baptistic background. And John Calvin, we thank the Lord for the Lord using him in his time, but he was a Sabbatarian, and I told those fellows in those days, I said, you know, Calvinism is not just a soteriological view. It's not just about salvation. It's a whole world view. It's a view that encompasses everything in life, and I'd rather be very simple and just approach it through the Biblicist viewpoint, rather than, in fact, I told him this. I said, I appreciate John Calvin, but salvation is not spelled J-O-H-N-C-A-L-V-I-N. Salvation is spelled J-E-S-U-S-C-H-R-I-S-T. Jesus Christ is salvation. This is life eternal, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I think that's where we need to start. Then I think this... Gary's right. We really shouldn't talk about systematic theology. But this new covenant perspective, which we believe is what the Scripture teaches, naturally comes out of this. Once you really just look at the Scripture for the Scripture's sake and get these systems out of your mind, and let's see, what does the Bible actually teach here?
And by the way, we have a listener who is clarifying or helping my failing memory here. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who said the British brother in Christ, who is a covenantal Reformed Baptist pastor, who John invited to preach at the John Bunyan Conference, was the late William Payne. Thank you very much for that reminder. Author of What is a Reformed Baptist Church? I remember being riveted by Brother Payne's message there at the Bunyan Conference. Just another inquiry to see if our brother Gary George has returned. Are you there, Gary George?
I guess did I ever leave, brother? I didn't know that I left.
I asked you a question, and there was dead silence. Well, I want
when you're among these towering brothers, you feel as if you ought to give place to them. So,
not when the host asks you a question. why don't you give us some of your own personal, either tribute to John or anecdotes, whatever you'd care to say, to pay tribute to this brother that we all love so dearly.
Well, where John, I think, stuck out the most in my mind, and I think this is really the heart of his ministry, was the exaltation of Christ. And so many times he would make reference to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appeared, and then the final words were, "From the Father, hear ye him." And, you know, it was all about Christ, and that's why some of John's writings, "But I Say Unto You," for instance, one of his earlier ones, with a strong emphasis on Moses says, "But I say," Moses says, "But I say." And there is this superiority, of course, I think all of us recognize with Jesus Christ being in the new covenant era and, of course, inaugurating it. But it's the zenith of scriptures. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so John's Christology, I think, reached such a focal point that was really the heart of what I think he wanted to communicate. And so everything sort of fell under the lordship of Jesus, and it was really his desire to want to exalt the name of Christ and to place the highest emphasis on the teachings of the Lord Jesus, which he believed didn't simply rubber stamp Moses' teaching, but rather exceeded them in the sense that the bar was raised higher. So some of the criticisms of John and John's teaching was that he was antinomian or promoting antinomianism. And I think it's just the opposite, to tell you the truth. Although he certainly advocated liberty and liberty of conscience, he nevertheless believed that we, as new covenant people, obviously brought into the fold at this time in redemptive history, have an allegiance to Christ that must be maintained to the highest degree, and Jesus is Lord, and when we claim him as Lord, there's a desire to be obedient, to love the Lord, to love the Word, to follow in his footsteps. So it's just sort of a shame that he sort of had a label to some degree of promoting antinomianism, which in reality, I think it was just the opposite. I think he was promoting truth, love, grace, all under the lordship of Christ.
Yes, and of course the label antinomian conjures up thoughts of people teaching that you can have a repentantless Christianity, and that could be nothing could be farther from the truth. From what I remember about the John Bunyan conferences, it was instilled within me that in unison the teachers and speakers there all believed that repentance was a necessary identifying marker of somebody that was truly regenerate. And of course, we all sin. None of us are going to be perfect in this life until we enter into glory with Christ for eternity. But one thing that I remembered, being from covenantal Reformed Baptist churches all my life, other than when I was a Roman Catholic before my salvation, is that that was a definite area that seemed to be agreed upon. Lordship salvation, as it has been nicknamed, and the importance of repentance, not just being something that is some side benefit to Christianity, but something that is a key teaching that we are to command everyone to repent. Would any of you disagree with anything I just said?
No, I think I would just sum it up by saying it is the love of Christ that constrains us and not the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And,
Chris, can...
Go ahead, Gary.
Chris, can I make one comment here? Years ago, I wrote this. I just looked this up. Years ago, I wrote this to someone, and I was
describing kind of my pilgrimage, and I said, being theologically misinformed, I was doctrinally deformed. When I was informed by Paul's teaching, as explained by John Riesinger, my theology was transformed, and I became reformed. Now I conform to Tulip theology so that I can perform my role as one of God's elect. Now, at the heart of that is one of the things that John did so well was he set out the truth of election. And I think that someone mentioned earlier the series of messages that he did on that. And whether you come from a radical New Covenant position, a moderate position, if you come from a covenantal position, a more dogmatic Westminster position, everyone would resonate with John's teaching and preaching in terms of what a great benefit, what a great blessing to be one of the elect of God's people and be adopted into his family. And I think that transcends any of the narrow theological, the secondary, tertiary divisions that we're talking about.
Amen. And we have to go to our final break now. It's going to be a lot briefer than the last break. And so if you want to ask a question or pay your own tribute to John Riesinger before we run out of time, do it now or forever hold your peace. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is our email address. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. we fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, providencebaptistchurch.ma.org. That's providencebaptistchurch.ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W. R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and this is our final few moments of the tribute to John Riesinger today, and I just want to make sure that I immediately give all the contact information that you need, not only to get in touch with our guests, but also to attend the upcoming conference. First of all, if you want to attend the 2019 John Bunyan Conference of Tennessee in Franklin, Tennessee, this coming Sunday through Wednesday, June 23rd through the 26th, the website is ptinct.org, ptinct.org. And if you want to ever pay a visit to Sovereign Grace Chapel in Massachusetts, the website is sovereigngracema, the abbreviation for Massachusetts.org, sovereigngracema.org. If you ever want to pay a visit to Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee, that website is gracechurchfranklin.org, gracechurchfranklin.org. And if you want to find out more about Cross Theater, the ministry of Gary L. Scott, go to crosstheater.org, crosstheater.org, and keep in mind that theater is spelt in the fancy way with an R-E at the end, not E-R. So thank you, all of you, for being our guests today. If you could each take no more than 30 seconds to conclude with a word to our listeners that you most want etched in their hearts and minds, and let's start with you, Gary Scott.
Yes, I think that God is most glorified in us when we are engaged in the life, the joy, the fellowship that he's offered to us in Christ. John Riesinger not only influenced other people, but there was a joy, there was a life, there was a sense of Christ in him that brought blessing to my life, to my family's life. My family loves John as I do, and I think to many others. So I thank God for the example and the model of one who walked with Christ.
Amen. And Gary George, if you could now, about 30 seconds.
The first time I met John, I said, John, explain to me what is New Covenant theology. And he said this: dispensationalism cuts the two testaments in half. He says covenant theology planes the two testaments out. And he says New Covenant theology does neither. That was a launching pad for me to investigate more these doctrines that John was so powerfully and clearly enunciated in the years to come and in his books. So that's what got me going on thinking of the merits of New Covenant theology.
And Bill Sasser.
Well, I would say about John that he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He left here in faith. He told my wife and I when we visited him, I'm hoping I can just go to sleep and wake up in glory. And I think that's exactly, I think the Lord granted that wish. And then I also, so I'm so thankful for John, for his influence on me and on so many people. And I'm thankful for you, Chris, for your radio program. Very unusual program, and I hope the Lord will bless you and supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, and I'd like to invite anybody who can or would like to attend the conference beginning this Sunday, the 23rd, and going through Wednesday, and we'd be glad to have you.
Amen. I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. I look forward to many future return visits as guests of mine on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.